Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. This show is for the 8th of November, 2017. We're playing a little catch-up after my hospital stay for the heart problem. And there's nothing I could do about that, folks. Really, but I'm back in full force. Yahweh is healing me as we speak. Praise Yahweh. Always, always, always loving and healing. That's just the way it is. When you are obedient, if you obey Him, that's the main deal. We are in the book of 1 Chronicles. We finished chapters 9 through 11 on Monday, and here it is a Wednesday, so we have another new show. We'll have another new show on Friday. There are repeats on Tuesdays and Thursdays. For those who are new to the show and we're playing catch-up, when I finish everything, the show will just repeat over and over and over and over all the way through all the teachings. So that's the method in our madness here. Let's get right into it. This is chapter 12. Talking about Dawid's personal army. There are 41 verses in chapter 12, not 40 as in the King James. So I have done extensive correction. If you want to look up all these names and all this stuff, you're going to have to get a good concordance and a dictionary, and I'm just going to read them off because Chronicles is a history lesson of what went on. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now these are those that came to Dawid to Ziklag while he yet kept away from before Shaul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Well, Shaul was trying to kill Dawid and his madness. Craziness. Shaul was very paranoid for good reason, because he was disobedient to Yahweh. Verse 2. Armed with bows and can use the right hand and the left in hurling stones, you know, with a sling and shooting arrows from a bow. Even of Shaul's brethren, that's kinsmen, of Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin. Shaul was a Binyamini, a Benjaminite. Verse 13. Achiezer, was the leader. Then Yoash, the sons of Shammah, the Gibeathite, and Yezawel, and Pelet, the sons of Azmaweth, and Baraka, and Yehu, the Anatoti. Okay. And Yishmaiah, the Gibeoni, a mighty man among the 30, and over the 30. Now this begins verse 5, because in the King James they have the verses out of order. And Yirmeyah and Yakaziel, I have extensive notes in here for the correction on the names. And Yochanan and Yozabad, the Gederathi. Verse 6. Eluzai and Yerimoth and Bealiah. Pardon me, I have to sneeze, and right now it's a painful process. Just a second. I caught that before the sneeze, so when I sneeze, it really compresses my chest, which is still quite painful from the operation. Back to verse 6. Eluzai and Yerimoth and Bealiah and Shemaryahu and Shephatiyahu, the Harufi. Okay. It's not going to read the same in your King James because they pretty much butcher the name. So I'm reading them as they are in the Hebrew. So you are familiarized with the Hebrew pronunciation. This is verse 7. Elkanah and Yishiyahu and Azarael and Yoezer and Yashobam, the Korki, that's Korhites, verse 8, and Yoelah and Zebadiah, the sons of Yerochan of Gedor, verse 9. This is not going to read the same as in your King James. The verses are off in the King James. And of the Gadi, that's the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the stronghold of the wilderness, mighty men of valor, and men of war for the battle that could set in order shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and swift as the gazelles upon the mountain in swiftness. Verse 10. Azer, the chief, Obadiah, the second, Eliab, the third. Verse 11. Mishmanah, the fourth, Yirmeyah, the fifth. Verse 12. Attai, the sixth, Eliel, the seventh. Verse 13. Yochanan, the eighth, Elzabad, the ninth. Now they have several people named the same. Verse 14. Yirmeyah the 10th. Machbanai the 11th. Verse 15, which would be verse 14 in the King James, which is wrong. These were of the sons of God. G-A-D, okay? Not God, God. Heads of the army, one of the least was over 100, and the greatest over 1,000. So these were chieftains and captains over Yahweh's army under Dawid. Verse 16. These are they that went over the Jordan in the first month when it had overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight all of the valleys, both toward the sunrise, that's the east, and toward its setting place, that is the west. You will notice the difference between what I am reading and the King James. Hot coffee. You will also notice that I am not constantly coughing because they have cleared my lungs out, which was congestion due to the thing that was going on with my heart. And I had bloated up and got a lot of water weight, and I have lost, let's see, I was 254, I'm down to 225. That's 24 pounds, folks, of just bloat, water weight, because of the heart condition. My goal is to lose another 10 pounds and be at 215, maybe 15 pounds and be at 210. And I will be skin and bones at 210 because I am a very large individual. I'm 6'2 plus, and I've got great big arms and legs, still strong. Still very strong, although I can't use it right now because of the incision in my chest, which is going to take months to heal. But I'm working with weights, very limited, working with weights and walking a lot. My leg strength is really coming back. And I can take a deep breath now without pain and just feel wonderful. What a healing. Taking all my herbal medicine, no big pharma. These are all natural path stuff. You don't need all those chemicals, folks. You just don't need them. They tell you, oh, if you don't take this, this, and this, and this. When I stopped taking them, my health, I have snapped back and healed twice as fast as if I were taking all those drugs. And my personal doctor that did the surgery says, well, when you get home, if you really don't need all that stuff, you don't need to take it. You know what to take. And sort of winked at me because he's sort of into what I'm into too. And they will prescribe Big Pharma for you, but the ones that are in the know, well, a homeopathic actual physician is rare to find these days. And I just had a big sip of one of my healing herbs. It's called coffee. Coffee's all right in limited quantities. It perks me up and gets me going because I'm not eating nearly as much as I used to. I'm sort of snacking a little bit, eating all day long, little bits, and that's helping me lose this weight. Verse 17, and there came of the children of Benjamin and Yehuda to the stronghold unto Dawid. Verse 18, and Dawid went out before them and answered and said unto them, if you be come peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be united with you. But if you come to betray me to my enemies, Seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the Elohe, that means the God of our fathers, look and rebuke. All right, he was wondering whether they were from Shaul and were going to betray him. All right, verse 19. Then the Spirit, now in the King James they have came upon. No. This is the Holy Spirit. Then the Spirit clothed itself with Amasai, who was the chief of the officers, and it says, and he said, it's not in the Hebrew, it's in the English to tie it together. Yours are we, Dawud, and with you, you son of Yishai, that's Jesse. Peace, peace be to you, and peace be to your helpers. Number 5826. For Eloheka, that means your God, helps you. Then Dawud received them and made them heads of the troops. They are all lining up behind Dawud. Verse 20, and there fell some of Manasseh to Dawud. In other words, they fell into his camp. They came over with him. Another little drink of coffee while it's hot. When he came with the Pelishti against Shaul to battle, but they helped them not, for the Lord's 5623 of the Pelishti by design sent him away, saying, he will fall to his master Shaul on our heads. Well, actually, in the Hebrew it says, on our heads he will fall to his master Shaul. In other words, they didn't trust him. They thought he would come over to Shaul. Well, no, Shaul was trying to kill him. So Dawud and his men left. Verse 21, as he went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh. In other words, they fell out and joined him. That's what the fell to means. Adnah and Yozabad and Yediael, Mikael and Yozabad, another Yozabad, there are several named Yozabad, and Elihu and Silittai, chiefs of the thousands that were of Manasseh. There's two Yozabads in this sentence. It's like a couple of guys named John. John number one and John number two. Well, it's a common name. So they had two Yozabads in that sentence. And they helped with Dawud against the band, and it says, of the rovers. There were raiders raiding in Israel. So they were hurting the Israelites. So Dawud went out and smote those raiders. For they were all mighty men of valor and were officers in the army. If you're reading your King James, you will notice the word changes. I haven't rewritten the Bible. I'm reading from the Hebrew and un-rewriting the Bible. The translators of the King James really butchered it, okay? So what I'm reading you is the straight deal right out of the Hebrew. I have corrected all these words. big job, but I really enjoyed it. There we go. I'm getting by a little piece at a time here. Verse 23, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great army like the army of Elohim. Verse 24, and these are the numbers of the bands that, well, that were, is inserted, armed to the war and came to David to Hebron to turn around the kingdom of Shaul to him, according to the mouth of Yahweh. He was serving Shaul, even though Shaul was trying to kill him, because Shaul was the anointed. And David would serve in obedience to Yahweh. Now, when Shaul died and the people voted David in, he was the anointed. He did not kill Shaul or Jonathan, his son, Shaul's son, because he loved Jonathan. Jonathan was on David's side. Verse 25. The children of Yehuda that bore shield and spear were 6,800 armed troops. Verse 26, which would be verse 25 in the King James. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for troops, 7,100. Verse 27. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. Now see that the Levites would fight now. They were priest class, but they would fight. They were just the same as the rest of the Israelites when it came to war. Verse 28, and Jehoiada was the officer of the Aharoni, the Aaronites. And with him were 3,700. That's the children of Aharon. Verse 28, and Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his ancestral house, 22 officers. Verse 30. And of the children of Binyamin, the kindred of Shaul, 3,000. For before this, the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Shaul. They were taking care of their own, okay? Verse 31. And of the children of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, men of name throughout the house of their ancestors. These are all, you know, gunslingers, famous. Verse 32. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David reign as king. Because people were disenfranchised from Shaul. And of the children of Issachar, men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the chiefs of them were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. Verse 33, see, they're going through the tribes here. Of Zebulun, such as went forth as troops, prepared in war, with all instruments of war, swords and shields and spears and armor and all of that, 50,000, which could keep rank. Not of double heart. In other words, they weren't double-minded. They were totally dedicated to helping David. Verse 34. And of Naphtali, 1,000 chieftains, and with them with shield and spear, 37,000. So these are people really pouring in. I mean, wow, lots of people. And of the Dani, that's the Danites, prepared in war, 28,600. See, they're rolling in now. Verse 37. And of Asher, such as went forth as troops, prepared in war, 40,000. This is the army of Dawid. After Shaul was done. Okay. Verse 38. And on the other side of the Jordan of the Reubeni, that's the Reubenites, and the Gadi, that's the Gadites, and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, with all manners of instruments of troops for the battle, in other words, all their weapons, 120,000. Verse 39, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart, all right, a true heart, to Hebron to make Dawid king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make Dawid reign as king. Because Shaul was, they were all flocking to Dawid. Verse 40, and there they were with Dawid 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. They had a bunch of food and feast and everything ready after they all came over there. They were feeding the troops. They had the provisions. Verse 41, the final verse of chapter 12. Moreover, they that were near to them, even Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen as food, meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins, and wine, and oil, and oxen, and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. Well, another little drink of coffee. We'll start chapter 13 here. And Dawid consulted with the officers of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And Dawid said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seems good to you and of Yahweh our Elohim, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levium, which are in their cities and pastures, that they may gather themselves unto us. Verse 3. This is all about the Ark of the Covenant. And let us turn back the Ark of our Elohim to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Shaul. No, Shaul was disobedient to Yahweh, and Yahweh was going to put him out. Well, he did. He and Jonathan were killed. And I just killed my cup of coffee. I'm so glad to be back, folks. Serving Yahweh, it gives me great joy. And to speak to you in these messages is a privilege. It really is. It's a privilege and a humbling experience. I have experienced a humbling because of my miscare of my body, my temple. I was not taking care of the temple. I was eaten up with the zeal, and I was doing too much work. Well, Yahweh has told me to slow down. I can do my shows, But I can't stay up all night and type and do all this stuff. I have to do things in moderation. Because he has more plans for me. He wants me in this upcoming battle. You can see the battle forming now. It's November and the world is going insane. So, we as Israel must prepare. And I must prepare. I must get my body healthy, which Yahweh is doing for me. He has engineered this fix. And he will engineer our victory as Israelites as well. Never fear. If Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? For he is preparing to smite these enemies of true Israel. He is going to rain death and destruction upon them. Never fear. The time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And if you read 2 Thessalonians, you'll see what Yeshua will do when he gets back here. Fire and brimstone and death. And the remnant shall be saved. He's going to slaughter our enemies. Because they are Yahweh's enemies. Now, we have some Israelites out there that sort of fudge around with it. And they need to get with the program. That's all I can say. You know, you better straighten up and get back to true worship of Yahweh. Not a lot of rigmarole, not all the Jewish Talmudic nonsense, but obey his commandments. His commandments are simple. They're not hard to do. Eat clean foods. Don't work on the Shabbat day. Keep the feasts. Be morally straight. It's easy. It really is if you try. You have to have some self-discipline. Just like these people that I'm reading about had self-discipline. Verse 4 in chapter 13. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. They knew what was right, and we know what's right. Verse 5 of chapter 13, you can reference 1 Samuel 7, verses 1 and 2. So, Dawood gathered together all Israel from Shechor of Mizraim, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the Ark of Elohim from Kiriath Yearim. Verse 6. And you can reference Exodus 25, 22. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah. Actually, Baalatha. That's what it is in the Hebrew. To Kiriath Yearim, which was of Judah, Yehuda, to bring up from there the Ark of Elohim, Yahweh, that dwells between the cherubim, whose name is called on it. It's the Ark of Yahweh. Verse 7. And they rode the Ark of Elohim in a new cart from the house of Abinadab. Here we go. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. That's Uzzah. And Dawid and all Israel celebrated before Elohim with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with lyres, and with tambourines, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. Verse 9, you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. We've heard this before. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. Even though he was trying to steady the ark, he was not to touch it. And there he died before Elohim. Boom! He smote him right there. Verse 11. And Dawid was angry because Yahweh had broke forth a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Peretz Uzzah to this day. That means the breach of Uzzah. And Dawid was sort of angry at Uzzah, but he was also upset that Yahweh, he didn't understand, you know, Yahweh had smitten one of his people for trying to steady the ark. It was sort of an innocent act, but it was forbidden for anybody to touch that ark. Only through the poles where they lifted it up. You couldn't touch the ark. It would kill you. Verse 12, you can reference 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 19. And Dawid was afraid of Elohim that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of Elohim to me? And verses 12 through 14, you can reference 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. So verse 13, so Dawid moved not the ark to himself to the city of Dawid, but turned it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gitti. He was a Gittite. Verse 14, and you can reference 1 Chronicles 26, verses 4 and 5. And the Ark of Elohim remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. Pardon me. First cough. And Yahweh blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Okay? That's impressive. Just having the ark in the man's house was a blessing. So let's get into chapter 14 here. Verse 1. Now Hiram, king of Zor, it says Tyre, but it's Zor, T-S-O-R, sent messengers to Dawid and timber of cedars with craftsmen in walls and craftsmen in wood. Reads different than the King James, doesn't it? To build him a house. And you can reference 2 Samuel 5. Verse 11 on that. And Dawid perceived that Yahweh had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. Okay, now here's part of the problem with Dawid. Verse 3. And Dawood took more wives at Jerusalem, and Dawood begot more sons and daughters. Now these are the names of his begotten which he had in Jerusalem: Shammua, and Shobab, and Natan, and Shalomo. Not Solomon, Shlomo. Verse 5. And Yibchar, and Elishua, and Elipelet. Verse 6. And Nogah, and Nepheg, and Yafia. Verse 7. And Elishama, and Be'eliada, and Eliphelet. Another Eliphelet. Okay. Now, this is when Dawood's kingdom was solidified. And who was bugging Israel so badly? The Pelishtim, the Philistines. So, verse 8, and when the Pelishtim heard that Dawood was anointed king over all Israel, all the Pelishtim went up to seek Dawood. They were going to try to kill him. Okay, do your thing. And Dawood heard of it and went out against them. Verse 9, and the Pelishtim came and invaded the valley of Rephaim. Verse 10 and 11, you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And Dawood inquired of Elohim, saying, shall I go up against the Pelishtim? And will you give them into my hand? And Yahweh said unto him, go up, for I will give them into your hand. Verse 11, so they came up to Baal Perazim, and Dawood smote them there. Then Dawood said, Elohim has broken in upon my hated enemies. By my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Verse 12. And when they had forsaken their gods there, that's their little statues, little Elohim, Dawood gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Verse 13. And the Pelishtim yet again invaded the valley. Verse 14. Therefore Dawood inquired again of Elohim, and Elohim said unto him, go not up after them, turn back from against them, and come upon them off the front of the balsam trees, not mulberry, balsam. In other words, he was going to go around them. They were going to face one way, and he was going to sneak around in back of them and wipe them out. And it shall be when you shall hear a sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall go out to battle. For Elohim is gone forth before you to smite the army of the Pelishtim. Verse 16. Dawood therefore did as Elohim commanded him, and they smote the army of the Pelishtim from Gibeon even to Gazara. Verse 17. And the name of David went out into all the lands, and Yahweh put the fear of him upon all nations. Now here, nations means non-Israelite nations. David had a big name from smiting the Philistine. And everybody heard about it. What? Did you hear what King David of Israel did? Oh, he destroyed the Philistines. We better be real nice and not mess with him, because his God will destroy us. Well yeah. Same as he's going to destroy these trash that we're going to have to come up against. I mean, Yahweh's not going to tolerate all this and the murder rate and all the evil that these people are doing to us. It's just not going to pass. He's not going to allow it. He's going to wipe these people out. Well, I'm going to stop here at the end of chapter 14, because I don't really have enough time to do all of 15. So I'm not going to chop chapters in half. And I'll expound a little bit on what's going on. And then cut it off. I need a... we have a new show format here at EFR. A lot of my reruns run a little bit too long, and maybe the end of it will be cut off. But you can hear all my shows if you want to go to my website. Download all of that. It's https://www.pastor-steve.com, and you can get all my stuff right there if you want to listen to the full shows. They'll be uploaded and archived and all of that. We need a 3-minute break, so my shows will be like 57 minutes long instead of a full hour, because we're really getting professional at EFR, and things are truly coming together, and we're getting better and better and better and better. A lot of changes since I've been gone temporarily. Well, I'm getting in the swing of things here and getting things recorded ahead of schedule. And I'm just going to continue to keep on recording and get these things in the can and ready to go. My wake-up call shows are at the same time on Thursdays. And I'm doing Yahweh's Covenant People and Bloodlines with Eli and Pastor Greg Howard on Friday, and Bloodlines on Sunday with Eli. We sort of got cut off, had a temporary glitch last Sunday, but we'll get back with that. A lot of changes, okay? I want to thank everybody for their support and saying how much they've missed me, and Yahweh bless and keep you. I really appreciate that. These stories in Chronicles are a documentation of what went on. It doesn't go into the minute detail that the book of Samuel and Kings and stuff. It just doesn't go into that. But there are other things that are new in these chapters, so they are very important. And these names you need to know because of reflecting back and rereading some of the other books, you know, Kings and Samuel, you will understand who these people were. This series in Chronicles jumps back and works its way through. Second Chronicles will be even more detailed in many aspects than First Chronicles. We need all this history. We need to be able to relate to these people. All these people mentioned here are our ancestors. We are Israel, and these people are our ancestors. So we need to know about them. We need to know what was done, why it was done, how it was done. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, it may seem inconsequential now to read all the, oh man, this is just so dry history and all these names and blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do when we're in the kingdom and so-and-so walks up to you and say, hi, I'm pleased to meet you, brother, and shakes your hand. You're going to meet these people that were faithful to Yahweh. You're not going to meet the people that were not faithful to Yahweh. He's going to judge them. Everybody in Israel is going to be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to the second death. People in Israel are not all going to make it, just the ones that were obedient to Yahweh. I mean, come on. He's not going to fool around with it. There's going to be a judgment. Well, a lot of these people that were mighty warriors and faithful to Yahweh, even before Yahshua, that promise holds true for them, but only for Israel. I come not except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't come for the Katsuhundas and the Mabajabas and the Yakasukis and all the rest and these half-breeds. No, that's not happening. He came for the true purebloods of the house of Israel. Now, all the other races are not going to be wiped out. They're going to continue on, but they will be servants. They will live outside of New Jerusalem. Okay? When the judgment day comes and Yahshua comes back and all this battle and everything over, we're not going to procreate anymore because the remnant will be eternal. We're not going to have children. We won't need children. All the Israelites that made it are going to be gathered together. New Jerusalem is going to be a huge city. It's not going to be over in Palestine. It will be far bigger than Palestine. We're all going to be gathered and probably going to be on the North American continent. Everything's going to be changed. We're not going to have the pollution. We're not going to have the poisoning of the air, water, and soil. We're not going to have microwave towers and all this technological stuff that they're using to kill people, irradiate us, and kill all the bees, and just do all this horrendous stuff. All that's going to end. It'll be glorious. You need to be on the side of Yahweh. If you're in doubt, you need to get in prayer and pray to Yahweh in the name of Yeshua and ask Him for forgiveness. You don't need to go running forward to an altar and make a big show. It's not a show. It's a private commitment between you and our Father in heaven, Israelites. It's not a dog and pony show. We want you with us. I mean, if you're in doubt, you need to talk to Yahweh, and you need to come under submission to His will and obey His commandments. It's not that hard. Just be obedient. That's all He wants. Well, I'm running out of time here. I will pick up on Friday with chapter 15 in the first book of Chronicles. So I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.